Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the 7th episode of FS Talks, the podcast that brings you the latest news and chats with industry leaders every week on Friday mornings. Today's podcast is hosted by myself, Phil Cree, co-founder and director of FSCom, which is a boutique regulatory advisory firm to the financial services industry. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Jenny Hinberg-Wild. Jenny is head of FinTech and PSPs at Barclays Corporate. Morning, Jenny. Delighted to have you here. How are you?
Good morning, Phil. I'm extremely well. Thank you very much, and thank you very much for having me.
Good. Good. Not at all. I first had the pleasure of meeting Jenny at Cybos. I think it was last year at some point. We'll probably not be, you know, meeting in person for a while yet. But we've worked with Barclays for a good while, over a number of years. Jenny, listen, I wonder, just for the audience's purposes, could you expand a little bit on your own background, which I know is considerable, particularly within Barclays. What attracted you to the FinTech team?
Yeah, sure. So I actually fell in, and I do use that very purposefully. I did fall into banking, and particularly corporate banking, as a very young grad. I won't give away my age, but it was sort of like 14 years ago or something. So long, long while ago. And I started off my banking career applying for every single marketing position that I could possibly find. It didn't really matter which industry, because I studied international marketing and done pretty well at it, so I got a good degree and all of that lot. And I went into all of these Barclays marketing interviews, and they told me that, listen, we really like you, but we just don't think you're right for marketing. In hindsight, I think they were right, actually, and I was probably wrong. Wasted 4 years of university on the wrong topic. But they then referred me over to the business side, and I fell in into originally our hospitality and leisure team, which is part of the UK corporate side. And I spent a good 10 years in there, going from job to job. I was covering restaurants, hotel developments, restaurant rollouts, bars, pubs, all the good stuff. It was the client visits were delightful, I must admit. a really, really great industry to cover from that perspective. You could really feel, your impact. Every single new restaurant that was opened up with your money, you kind of got to go and visit, no doubt. But I kind of, that evolved then over the years, and I started looking after some of the other what's deemed in the banking world as high-risk industries. And particularly, I looked after some payment service providers who were specializing in online gambling companies. I suppose that's my first stint at the whole PSC world. So we had two high-risk industries colliding together. I was more of a specialist on online gambling companies, and I build a lot of structure around that. How can a bank actually get comfortable with it? All of those various different things. And I got to know lots and lots of people who are still involved behind the scenes, people you don't usually see, but those people who debate, why are we doing this and how can we mitigate risk and all of those various different individuals. And sure enough, then got approached at some point in time. They said, well, hey, we've got a great idea. Why don't you take those payment service provider clients of yours and bring them over to where they belong and come with them yourself? So I joined the financial institutions group side of Barclays, where the PSCs now sit, about 3 or 4 years ago, I think it is now, I lose count. And that's it, really, rest is history. So I'm a story of I fell in and then I fell in again, I think. From that perspective, that's my flooded background.
Yeah, listen, I don't know anyone who works in this industry that did it through strategy. Everyone's fallen into it in some way, shape, or form. Me included. A lovely accountancy degree somewhere, which isn't getting used much in the same way.
I don't know. Maybe there's a new generation. So I do get approached quite a lot, particularly internally in Barclays, where a lot of our young crowds are telling me that maybe they would like to you know, come and work in fintech. They've always had that as their dream. So my hope is on them because they clearly know what they're talking about. So.
Stop. You're making me feel old. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
One of the sort of the key conversations you hear around fintech is how are fintechs and large banking institutions going to work together? Like, are they mutually beneficial or are they mutually exclusive sort of long term? What are your thoughts on this? Like, I think they're mutually beneficial, but it's just in what guise? Particularly since Barclays have supported this industry massively since its inception, and you know, it's really, really big in the UK probably because of that. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's always a debate that comes up, right? So few ways of looking at it, really. The first thing I'd like to say that I'm extremely privileged. I work for a very, very long established institution, right? With all the tradition, with all the things you'd expect from a financial institution that's been around as long as ours have. Yes, I get to work with the cutting edge of the financial industry every day, working with the fintechs and payment service providers. So I consider myself extremely lucky to be in that junction. It really is extremely rewarding place to be. So because I think the debate in terms of fintech versus bank is moved on. If it hasn't, it ought to have, right? I think from overall point of view, it shouldn't. Have I lost you, Hill?
Yeah, I've lost video, but I can still hear you. So go on ahead.
So apologies for that. It was demonstrating the great technology, right? I think the kind of overall the rhetoric has moved on. I think we are now in a place where we are discussing much more constructively. How can we work together long term? What does it actually look like? What does it entail? And so on and so on. And I think that's much more fruitful as a conversation. Now, there will be things that banks will always probably do themselves, some of the core infrastructure stuff, things like that. But equally, there'll be lots of different areas where we will be, jointly partnering with fintechs or PSPs to deliver for better outcomes. So for me, I think there's a lot of conversation in that area, but it isn't so much about debate anymore. It's much more about how do we move forward that conversation constructively together.
Yeah, I 100% agree. It's like you would still see some articles and, you know, poo-pooing traditional banking and yay-yaying sort of fintech, but it's definitely a market that works together. It's really, really cool to hear that. You know, almost the conversation in Barclays is how do we work together rather than, you know, something different. Do you know what I mean? So that's really, really good. I think sort of one of the key challenges you think about for bank institutions is like how do they work with scale ups? Or if I could put the question in a different way, if I was like a scale up looking for banking services, like what are the sort of key considerations that I should be thinking about to make sure that I put across to Barclays if I'm looking to partner with you?
Yeah, it's a big question, right? Thanks, Phil. there's a lot of them, right? And I think for me, really. One of the things that is really, really important for us, and it goes beyond just kind of like works on paper, but we are all about obviously managing risk, all about making sure that we see the mitigants out there, that we manage what goes through our pipe work. Now, how does that translate to the PSPs out there and the fintechs out there? When you do business with us, your risk appetite never has to be the same as ours, right? That's not what it's about. It's not about having the same policy book or the rule book. But we do need to be culturally aligned. And I think that's a big thing for scale-up. Think really, where does that kind of risk management and that, you know, understanding of the risk of your business and understanding how you can mitigate it, where does that sit within the organization? If that's isolated into a compliance department or into a MLRO, no matter how good that MLRO is, it probably won't be sufficient. So we really like when we see these scale-ups coming to us who kind of build their business through having this running all the way to the top of the organization, be in their race, in their culture, and that helps enormously. Now, there will always be little tinkering points here and there and everywhere, of course, right? But what we do is we work with companies and we just try to understand and we try to align and really help that scaling up process, you know, as a consequence. But that dialogue is so much more constructive. It's the culture, it's the kind of vision of the platform where these should be built from is aligned, and then that works. So I think that's something I would say to scale up is, you know, think about that earlier on. Don't try to build a business and then think, oh, let me now chuck some compliance and risks overview onto that. You know, that's inevitably going to probably come into a place where we won't align. But very much, you know, think about it. Where does it fit in your company? And if it's in the culture, then, you know, then we have a platform to have a really, really good conversation from.
I love that. It's like, 'cause you'd say it so often, it's like companies grow and focus on sales, and then almost try and backfill the compliance stuff. And what you're saying is, no, do them both at the same time, which is definitely, I think, what you see now with the most successful companies, that is that they at least try and do that.
I think we see that as well, and we see the scale-ups when they come in, and I can see, I completely empathize with the attraction, right? Building revenue fast, being on hypergrowth, you know, it just seems so attractive. But if you can do that growth, but do it sensibly and really think about where you're growing from and what you're growing with, you know, there is going to be that pivotal point where just suddenly that's going to see you in so much better space.
It makes you sustainable because building up all that debt in compliance will cost you more money in the long run. Like, you've seen it before, and you know, I'm with you. I totally get it, but it's like just having the right controls would help a lot. We're obviously in the midst of COVID-19. I would love to take this opportunity to thank you for taking part in the FSCon 5K Challenge. Which is you posted beautiful photos of your children and your family. So thank you very much for that. How have you and Barclay sort of found the transition to working from home? Has it been relatively straightforward, or can you not wait to get back into the office?
it's a good question. So I think for me personally, talking in a week when we finally have the first school run and to take the little one back into school, it's a bit of a miraculous day. And if you asked me a year ago if we would be having this kind of a conversation, I would have laughed, right? I'm with it, right? I empathize and sympathize with everybody who works with me, whom I work with out in the industry, who are kind of having to adjust with not just kind of, you know, not working in the office environment, but just doing prolonged. So we were all very used to doing it, right? We've always been able to work from home. Most of our client base, I think, you know, they still use the offices just for the beanbags, right? People are going to write in complaints now. Jesus, fintechs only have offices for beanbags. I think they are much more used to, I suppose, in that, you know, everything has been built mobile and it's great. We've had the ability to work from home for a long time. But, you know, there are still challenges. You know, I'm pretty sure my team knows my kids and my dog. by their names. My dog particularly thinks is that it's her right to be on every single WebEx. I'm quite surprised she's not here today. So, you know, there's been a lot of adjustments on that. Broadly, though, I think it's been really great. You know, we've dealt with it extremely well. You know, our client base has dealt with it extremely well. I mean, I know this is not necessarily fintech specific, but just to chuck some thoughts out there, you know, we when this all started, we issued out a software package to make sure that clients can really truly connect with us remotely at all times with less reliance on all of the traditional methods. And that software package, think about it, for like 60,000 times, right? That's a big scale. We've spent something like 10,000 a new finger vein, you know, smart card readers out there for clients who want to connect to us remotely. And so, you know, the scale of this has been really, truly quite immense. And I hope that it has also nudged forward a transformation that has been slightly sluggish and that we all look into this. I mean, I've heard this battered around many, many times, so not my original thoughts at all, but this kind of, you know, what brought on digital transformation. And in the end, it's this current situation. So I think all of that sort of side has been absolutely fantastic and to watch. You know, I think we've coped with it as a business very, very well. I do think our clients have been really out there showing the way, like I said, you know, connecting, you know, remotely and making sure that things tick along. We actually, again, quite interestingly, you know, like we have a big portfolio of clients in this space, right? We look after the whole spectrum. Some clients have been really, really impacted badly by the whole COVID situation, but others have done extremely well. So if we're looking to more of the kind of FX broker side, for example, many of them have had staggering months. Month of March was just absolutely amazing from the point of view that there was lots of volatility in the marketplace. They maybe took a benefit of that. So you know, not everything is doom and gloom, right? I think there's been some really, really great stuff. Don't take away from the fact that for many companies, it's been a big, big challenge. I look forward to moving the conversation along and really getting to a stage where we can start talking about a big, bright future with everybody again.
I think me too. Does Barclays have any plans to like get people back into the office, or is there sort of debates about there's a term, the new normal, what that's going to look like? Has there been any sort of idea of when that's going to happen, do you know?
We have group level plans, and I know that even our CEO has been quite famously out there saying, I think it was a side comment which he said that, you know, that perhaps the age of big office in a canary wharf or micro location is over. For bankers, but listen, I see a future where we use this kind of, you know, platform of real estate much more smartly and much, much more flexibly. I think overall it's going to be a good thing. There are plans. I'm not expecting anything to happen immediately. And again, it kind of, I suppose, comes down to, you know, who needs to be in the office the most. Right now, I don't. You know, I can deal with the kids and the dog. just about. I think, you know, we will return, no doubt, to some office working, I think, in the future. But I think it's got to be probably different, yeah. Yeah. I like the term new normal. I don't know anybody knows what it actually means.
No. We have had three meetings a week to talk about the new normal, and nobody knows what it looks like. Moving forward, I wonder, you know, could you share some of your goals for the future of the fintech team at Barclays? Do you have sort of short, medium, long-term goals, and would you share roughly sort of what they look like?
We did a really great survey, actually, which has got a bit lost in all of the current situation, but we did one jointly with Money 2020, we pulled data from all of the events across the various different regions, and we pushed out a document on that, which looks into kind of, you know, the future of fintech and stuff. And for us, this is very much looking into stuff like that and pulling from it and trying to really think about, so what do we need to do and evolve? How do we evolve for the future? So for me, we've got, you know, all of us have got roles, and we talked a little bit about, you know, earlier about that kind of, you know, we take a very constructive view, at least where I am in Barclays is a great place to be to work with fintechs and see how we can really move the conversation forward. But in my view, none of these roles that we take today will be fixed. They all evolve. They'll be all different tomorrow. And it's all about keeping very much, first of all, just trying to think about, so what does it look like in the future then? So how can I keep relevant for the industry? How can I keep supporting the industry from our side? So strategically, that's what we're looking at. Just, you know, how do we evolve with everybody else, right? How do we make best out of this for everybody? I think we'll all remain relevant for a very long time, but just maybe slightly differently than we are today. Who knows? So I think we're looking at that. We're looking at all of those different things. Midterm, kind of like short to midterm, it's going to be really interesting to see how people leverage the current situation. How do they come out of it? You know, what do the businesses look like as they come out of this? You know, that's going to be really interesting to see, and how we can support and be relevant there as well.
Brilliant. Listen, Yemi, that's sort of all the questions I had. I have to say it's one of the most enjoyable conversations that I've had. So thank you very, very much. Listen, it's always genuine pleasure to catch up with Yemi. She's extremely articulate and intelligent and fiercely passionate about her job, which is, you know, which is some combination.
Yeah. And I have proven that I'm also able to log back into the VPN connectivity whilst talking to you about the kind of banks and things that's working together. So that's a true multitasking.
Let's hope the recording works, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Next week, we have Jesse Spiro, who's Global Head of Policy at Chain Analysis. We'll be talking all things crypto and investigations. So listen, thank you very much, Yemi, and look forward to speaking to everyone else next week. Thank you.
Perfect. Thanks very much.